You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Mark chapter 2 says these words, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum," that was the name of a town, "the people heard that he had come home." Even before we preached the message, I just felt as I was reading over my notes during worship, just the Holy Spirit emphasized to me a few words from that first verse. It isn't the message for tonight, but it says this: after a few days, Jesus entered. I don't know what you're believing for. I don't know what you've been going through. But I believe that tonight Jesus is going to enter that which you may have been praying to get out of. Jesus wants to enter. It could have been a few days, a few months, a few years even, and you've just come to the conclusion that this is the way it is. But this opening of this account makes it seem like something's going to happen. After a few days, Jesus entered. I wish I was big and American and probably black to be able to say that a few octaves deeper and with more. No, that was me trying. What do you mean? There's probably a few contenders in the room that could do that, but I'm just going to do my best. After a few days, Jesus entered. Pathetic. I know. But I believe that tonight Jesus is going to enter some situations, some hearts, some lives, some relationships. And you'll see in the verses that follow that when Jesus enters, everything changes. It says that they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Verse 3 says, "Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith," everybody say their faith, not his, it was their faith that Jesus saw, "he said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately," oh, here's another powerful one that we're not preaching on tonight, "Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking." Oh, Lord, help us. You know, the private conversations you think to yourself, Jesus hears them. Oh, can't preach that. Not tonight. Sorry. I'm feeling loaded with the Bible tonight. "Immediately, Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk?' I would propose that both of those are quite challenging. 'But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So he said to the man anyway, 'I'll tell you, get up, take your mat, all the stuff that makes your pain familiar and comfortable even, pick it up, roll it up, put it in the sweatiest part you've got, and go home.' Then," the Bible says, "he got up." Come on, he got up. He got up, took his mat and walked out. And here's a prophetic statement for the church in 2020, in full view of them all. Talk about exploits. Pastor Glynn been delivering this message for the last two Sunday mornings. These exploits are not going to be whispered and rumored about behind closed doors. They're going to be in full view of everybody. So that this reaction, listen to the reaction. He says he got up and walked out in full view of them all. And this was the response. And I believe this is the response potentially for your life as you become a contender for the faith. It says this amazed everyone. and they praise God. A few cynics in the room, a few non-believers that were just there, just checking it out, seeing what all the fuss was about with this Jesus guy. And yet every single one of them, from the raving lunatics, just like Jesus super fan, to the guy at the back who was just taking notes so he could spread some gossip, basically they all just stood to their feet and went, I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing. The only thing I can do is just praise God. That's the only thing I've got left. And they said these words, we have never seen anything like this before. Come on, let's pray for that as a prophetic statement over our church, over our locations, over this service, over your lives, over all the ministries in our church. Father, we thank you that you are doing something that is undeniably amazing. Something that our only response, and even the response of those around us, can be, which is to give you all the praise. God, we want you to do, and we thank you that you are doing things that we have never seen before, because you are an awesome God, and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give God a shout of praise. I know you've been doing it all night. I know you've been doing it all night. All right, you can take your seats. You can take your seats. I want to read to you another verse if I can. It says this in Jude verse 3. The reason why there's no chapters is because there is only one chapter. And verse 3 of Jude says this, I felt compelled to write and to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. In the Message translation or paraphrase of the Bible, it puts it this way, I have to write insisting, no, begging, that you fight with everything you have in you for this faith entrusted to us as a gift. I don't know if you and your group of friends, maybe you sat with them tonight, who is the person of your mates who is a contender for the person most likely to cry in a movie? Point to the person in your group of friends. Oh, you were. That's kind. You just inadvertently encouraged me because you told me I was your friend. All right, point to the person around you who is a contender for most likely to turn up late. Oh, yeah, a few people, a few nudges. Also me. Point to the person who is a contender for most likely to forget their wallet. Oh, a few secret nudges. I've been a contender for a few things in my few short years. In the early 90s, I was in a band that was contender for best band in Bolton. And now that's not saying much, I hear you say. I was in a soul band. I don't know if you remember a movie. I don't know if you remember a movie called The Commitments. Do you remember that? Well, when that was out, we got on that bandwagon. I had long hair. Prove it. I can't now, mate. I barely got any. I had long hair, I played bass, I was in a soul band called The Part-Time Residents. We did all the songs from The Commitments movie, and then after that, we didn't really know what else to do, so we kind of Avengers disassembled, as it were. But yeah, if you think you're a contender for Husband of the Year. Okay, wives, if you sat next to them, just correct them. If you're a contender for the People's Choice, people say I'm a contender for National Treasure. I mean, I don't say that. It's just what people say about me. I'm just my mum. Well, this verse in Jude really is setting us up for this brand new series called Contenders, because whether or not someone is telling you you're a contender for something, whether it's meaningful or just a bit of fun, the Bible is charging us here. It's asking us, it's inviting those with the courage to contend for the faith. You could be fat, thin, tall, short, black, white, or everything in between. But God is saying to us as Audacious Church, in fact, it goes as far as to say it's begging you, it's insisting, it's urging us to be a contender for the faith. It's like God has entrusted us with something so precious. He then follows that up by saying, please, don't take it lightly. Don't just have it as an accessory to your life. But in actual fact, I'm urging you, it says in this verse, to be a contender for the faith. I just believe that 2020 is going to be the year when you have your own story. I'm talking about you contending for miracles in your life. I'm talking about you contending for breakthrough in your life. We're inspired by stories of others, but this year you're going to have your own story. If I could urge you anything, it would be to contend for the faith. Pastor Glenn, in our morning series, Great Exploits, which is really, these series are two strands of the same cord. We're kind of weaving this thing together at the start of the year so that we can start strong. Great Exploits, be a contender. In other words, position yourself, live in such a way that you are a contender for great exploits. These two things go hand in hand. But Pastor Glenn was teaching us last week, I believe, as he read from Hebrews, a giant list of all the contenders that have gone before us. And when you understand that the Bible was not like something that just sort of started and ended and that was it, was a history book. But no, as Pastor Glenn was telling us this morning, it's alive. We are on the page. We are on the list. It says in Hebrews 11, I'll just literally, don't put it up on the screen because I'm just going to pull out the names. It says, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry ground. It says, by an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised to him. And Isaac and Jacob did the same. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant. By faith, Abraham at the time of testing offered Isaac back to God. By an act of faith, Isaac reached into the future and blessed Jacob and Esau. By an act of faith, Jacob on his deathbed blessed each of Joseph's sons in turn, blessing them with God's blessing. By an act of faith, Joseph. By an act of faith, Moses. By an act of faith, Moses. By an act of faith, Israel. By an act of faith, Rahab. By an act of faith, me and you. I mean, when you look at that list, Pastor Glenn was challenging us, what does that make you feel? I think it was in our staff meeting or recently about when you read that list, what does it make you feel? It made me feel 10 times better because it's full of rogues, it's full of people who've made mistakes, imperfect. And it made me feel like, well, maybe, even with what I know about myself, maybe I'm a contender. That by faith, I might just do something. And when I read Mark chapter 2, and I've been preaching from this account for as long as I can remember preaching. Everybody's heard, many of us have even shared a message or a thought from that story. The famous guy being lowered through the roof story. So we're in this series, it's called Contenders. And really to set us up, I'm going to share a message with you from that passage. Just a few thoughts as we come into a place where we can respond to God tonight. This message this week is simply called, You Are a Contender. You are a contender. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Rahab. And by faith, you are a contender. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait as we go through this year for the stories to be coming from our mouths. We're inspired by history. We hear the accounts, and I know that Pastor Glenn's going to speak Contenders Part 2 next Sunday night, and we'll hear stories from history of different things like that. But let me tell you this, this is our turn. It's our page. The spotlight is on us. We are, you are a contender. I want to just prove it to you, because I, like you, have the internal dialogue that echoes around my brain when people speak about faith. That, just like Morgan was teaching us in his offering, same idea is that we speak faith, but we think fear. We speak faith, but we feel lack. We speak more than enough, but we kind of live not quite as much. And so I wanted to pull out some things and show you that you are a contender. You are a contender. I told Elena I didn't want some water, but now I cannot speak. Come on, look at the person next to you. Say, you are a contender. Come on, tell them like you mean it. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know you're a contender? Well, here's the first thing that I get from this passage. You're a contender because you are commended. You're a contender because you are commended. I don't know if you noticed when we were reading it, whether you were just caught up in the moment and me kind of giving it my best GCSE drama interpretation of the scripture, but the Bible doesn't actually name the guys that are the heroes of the story apart from Jesus, who's the main hero. It says this phrase, I think it's in verse 3, some men. Now, some people in the Bible are named and we celebrate them. These guys, we don't know their names. We don't know their history. We don't know what led them to that moment. We don't know where they went next. There's this incredible notion as you read the scriptures. You know the famous story, I think it's in Daniel chapter 3, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were commended, but not by the people around them. Same phrase said about them in Daniel chapter 3. But there are some Jews. In society today, we want people to know our name. I want to be celebrated. I want to have followers. I want to have people kind of know me. I want to walk into a room and people know my name. I want people to come up to me and me go, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You know me, of course. But no. These were just some men. They were commended. They were celebrated. But they were celebrated in heaven. You are a contender. And whether you're celebrated on earth or not, you are celebrated. You are commended in heaven. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, and goes on to say, in other words, when you can't see it, you're surrounded. When no one is patting you on the back, heaven is celebrating. When you're in that lighter phase of sleep, when you know you've got to get up, but you've not quite got out of bed yet, I reckon heaven's nudging each other. This is the one Jesus has been talking about. This guy down here, heaven's like, that guy? Yeah, that guy. Seriously, Jesus was talking to me about that guy, about that girl. And when your alarm goes off, you're like, ugh. Whereas in heaven, there's a standing ovation. Because you are a contender. It's a bit of an old thing to say, a little bit of a well-trodden path, but this idea of having an audience of one. We want to be in front of an audience, or we like the idea of having people, you know, revere us in that way. You don't have an audience of one. You've got an audience of a multitude, the Bible says. Every hero from that list that we read from Hebrews is on the edge of heaven when your alarm's going off, going, he's up, he's up, he's up, come on! You're riding the bus, you're going to uni, you're off to work, you're doing the same old routine. It might bore you, but it flipping gets heaven excited, I'm telling you. When you turn up at the office, until that, you're the only Christian in your workplace, well, until you arrived, there ain't no Christian there. But when you do, it's like all of heaven goes, oh, thank God. Not blasphemy, I mean actually, thank God. You are a contender. How do you know? Well, because you're commended, maybe not on earth, but in heaven you're celebrated. Another thing is that you are a contender. Why? Because you're a carrier. You're a carrier. I always thought, and in different versions of the same story, maybe it's worded a different way, but in Mark's gospel, surely I've seen better days. In Mark's gospel, it says some men came with a paralyzed man carried by four of them. In other words, there were some men, some carried, and some didn't. It doesn't say in Mark's gospel that four men came. It says some men came with a paralyzed man carried by four of the some. And I want you to consider tonight, as a person of faith, someone who has encountered Jesus, if you are one, that there comes a moment where you have to get out of the trolley and start carrying yourself. Where's Parker? Is he here? He's just gone to Aldi to get me another trolley. Charlie, you're about the same size. Give Charlie a great big round of applause. Yes. There's a moment when you come to faith where for a season the church, the program, the leaders, rightly so, they carry you. And that's good because it means whatever state you're in, you're welcome in the house of God. You can come with your mistakes. You can come. Jesus came as he was, as he did, so you could come as you are, Pastor Glenn said about four Christmases ago. Jesus came as he did, so you could come as you are. And we just want you to know tonight, if you're not a Christian, you've never encountered God, whatever you believe about yourself, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not true, and you're welcome, and you are welcome in the trolley. You're welcome in the church. You're welcome in the house of God. And for a season, we'll carry you for as long as we need to. We'll help you, we'll get alongside you, we'll encourage you. But this verse, carried by four of them, made me realize that there's a moment where you have to get out of the trolley. You see, while you're in there, you can't do much about it other than just enjoy the ride. But if you want to start making some changes, if you want to start doing something, if you want to start contending for the faith, there comes a moment, Charlie, and if you can do it without killing yourself or me, you have to get out. Come stand here, buddy. Now, if Charlie wanted to change direction while he's in the trolley, he's got to go. And really, it's up to me. But now Charlie's carrying... Ooh, that was your toe. Sorry, bud. Now Charlie can decide the speed, he can decide the direction, he can decide what's happening, where we're going, what we're doing. And I want to challenge you tonight to be a contender by recognizing that not everyone carries, but in 2020, you will. Yeah. Thanks for your inspiration with the Audacious Church devotionals, but I'm reading my Bible anyway. I'm going to take it and I'm going to take the inspiration. Where's Tim Gosden? He was doing the devotions this week. Is he here somewhere? Back there. Fantastic devotions this week. But I reckon in 2020, there's a few people who are going to say, I'm going to read the Bible because I love Jesus. Not out of a habit, although it's a good one, but out of love for God. Thanks, Charlie. You can go and sit down. Give Charlie a round of applause. You are a contender because you're commended, because you carry, but also because you are contested. It says in here, they could not because. It says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. I wonder if there's any people in the room tonight and you've tried to do something, but you could not because of something. You had some expectations or some dreams or some ideas, but in 2019, you could not because. And what we can do if we're not careful is use that as some kind of measure that we're in the wrong place. But in actual fact, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, which is what Pastor Glenn taught us this morning. So therefore, when you're contested, it's because you're a contender. So in our family, since August of last year, I've been in a dispute with a builder about our house, and things have literally just gone from worse to worse. And between Christmas and New Year, someone broke into that house that's half built, took both our sets of car keys and nicked both our cars. And afterwards, I was talking to a friend, and he said, "You're either doing something right or something wrong." And I said, "Well, at least I'm not being ignored." You're a contender, but don't be surprised if your contending means you're contested. Something is going to come against you, but instead of just caving, going, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing it wrong," recognize that sometimes that contesting is because you are a contender. Think of the most difficult thing in your life and recognize that this is happening because I am significant. I'm a son or daughter of the King, as we learned last term. You are a contender. You're a contender because you're creative. It says they made an opening. Sometimes you've got to make an opening. There was no paralyzed man hatch. There was no provision. And there was something about the courage and creativity combination that meant these boys were contending for their mate. Tried to get him to Jesus, but they couldn't because of the crowd. So they made an opening. Come on, some of us have got to go back to the Bible and a blank page in the journal and say, "All right, God, we need to make an opening. It looks like a dead end. It looks like the Dead Sea. It looks like there's no way forward. God, can you help me? Would you help me make an opening?" You're a contender when you get creative in the presence of God. You're a contender when you're consistent, because the Bible says they made an opening, and then after digging through it, that meant hands and knees. It meant mud beneath fingernails. It meant grazes on knees and elbows. They dug through it. Why? Because they were contenders in the faith for their friend. You are a contender. Digging through it. Pastor Glenn shared with us this morning about strength. He talked about spiritual strength, mental strength, emotional strength, and he made up a word. He talked about intestinal strength, and what he was talking about is something that is rare these days, it seems, or possibly not that trendy. It's this: guts. Strength. They made an opening, and then it didn't all just fall around them conveniently the same size as the mat was lying on. They had to get on their hands and knees and dig through it. This year, we might have to dig through some stuff. When Pastor Glenn was teaching us about that this morning, he was talking about a verse in Philippians, I think it is, where he talked about stand. Is that Philippians? Ephesians. He's talking about Ephesians. He said, when you've done all that, stand firm. And when he did it, I don't know if you saw, because I'm on the front row, I could see his feet quite clearly. He was talking like this, and he was saying, like, you know, when you've done all that, stand. And he put his feet like this, because if you want to stand strong, you have to plant your feet. You know, if something's coming, someone's running towards you, you don't stand like that, because you're just going to go timber backwards. But if something's coming, you plant your feet, ready to be strong. And you're going to have to dig through some stuff this year. But I know we said this last term with sons and daughters about being planted, but the source of your strength is planting your feet in the house of God. You got some challenges coming your way at work? Plant your feet in the house of God. You got some struggle at school or with your friends at uni? Plant your feet in the house of God. The shift patterns, the rotors come out at work and you say, "What's that? Sunday 5:30? No, sorry. Why? Because I need the strength that comes from having my feet planted in the house of God." Take your seats. We're coming into land just now. Really, the focus, the kind of narrowing in on you moment from this message is found in the words of Jesus in verse 5. Sorry, in the words of the gospel speaking about Jesus in verse 5. It says, when Jesus saw their faith. Their faith. You're a contender because you are a conduit. A conduit is like a vessel or almost like a tube or something that a thing can travel through. That's what a conduit is. a conduit of liquid or a conduit of electricity, something that something can travel through. The miracle for this guy literally traveled through four men. Because the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. Maybe the guy didn't have enough faith for his own miracle. Maybe the other some men who didn't do the carrying, maybe they were like, I don't know if this is going to work, guys. Maybe we should try something different. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. But four of them said, no, we're going to make an opening. Then we're going to dig through it. Then we're going to lower this guy into the presence of Jesus. And because of that, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith and that miracle was there. Listen, there are people in your life and there is a miracle needed. You are the conduit. You're not the miracle worker. God is the miracle worker. Jesus, King of Kings, miracle worker, right? But isn't it awesome that we get to be able to play a part in his divine nature, 1 Peter tells us, 2 Peter rather. We play a part that God would take somebody flawed and reckless and not all that together sometimes, but God would use me and you as a conduit. So that the faith that we have, as small or as big as you feel it is in comparison to others, so that if we could just get a generation in front of Jesus, that it would get the attention of heaven in such a way that Jesus is like, I can't ignore this. Not the guy coming through the roof, because we could just get the ushers, the security team, just to, you know, take him over, get a bit of gaffer tape over that gap at the top there. The thing that Jesus couldn't ignore was not the falling debris. It was the faith of the four men. There's one thing I want, is not to be ignored by heaven. I could live in such a way, be it messy or tidy, but just the way I live, talk, act, serve, love, give, gets the attention of heaven. It's almost like Jesus goes, well, we've got to respond to that. We've got to do something with that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, but with faith, it's possible. Come on, all over the place. Would you stand to your feet? Because I want us to respond to God. It says in verse 12, and I labored it when I read it. This, speaking about the whole event. The group of guys sat with their paralyzed friend for whoever knows how long, days, weeks, months, years even. But that moment where one of them said, I've heard that there's a Jesus guy, and where he goes, people get well. And so one of them, probably one of the four, said to the rest of them, well, let's just take him there then. We've taken him to that healing thing. We've taken him to that, you know, medicine man. We've tried this. We've tried, you know, rain dance. We've tried it all. We might as well just take him to Jesus. When it says they saw this, it's talking about that moment. It's talking about the moment the four guys rocked up, saw that there was a massive crowd and there was no way in, and didn't do what some of us would do, which is just go, oh, well, back to the pub. We've not lost anything. He couldn't walk before, he can't walk now, no problem. But one of them, probably the four, said, well, let's go up on the roof. What do you mean? Don't know, let's just see what happens. There's got to be something going on. Make the way up onto the roof. All of a sudden, Jesus is preaching. Everyone's having a great time. All of a sudden, starts banging and shuffling. There's people up on the roof. Not unusual. I guess they would have rooms and spaces on top of houses at that part of the world in this time in history. And so it wasn't unusual until all of a sudden, you know, a finger poked through or an elbow broke through or a pair of Doc Martens came swinging through the ceiling. This is what it's referring to when it says they saw this. This moment where the all the stuff starts going, everyone's looking at Jesus and they're looking at that and they're looking at the guy whose house it is thinking, I know you feel, Reedy. This is what they saw. And as the four guys, don't ask for permission, don't wait for someone to invite them, don't do a general consensus, is this the right moment? They just start lowering. This guy, imagine when he's at head height. Just lying there. Hello. How you doing? Good to see you. Yep, I'm going down. Jesus looks up at them and says, your sins are forgiven. Then they have this big, like, authority competition. With all the religious people start going on, ignoring the guy on the floor that can't walk, just been lowered through the ceiling. If that wasn't enough to convince them, start talking about all this other stuff. And then Jesus says, listen, I'll do it because this guy's worth it and because of their faith. And so therefore, pick up your mat, mate. We're out of here. When they saw all of that, they were amazed and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Simple message at the start of 2020. You are a contender for great exploits. All of that stuff that I just said as a measure of your contenderness covers everybody in this room. In a moment, we're going to create an opportunity for you to respond, some of you, to the greatest contender there ever has been or will be, Jesus. You are a contender, but he contended for you. The Bible says that Jesus came out of heaven, lived a sinless life. What was he doing? He was contending for me and you.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.